Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
Another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley with you as we move up in the draft order. We started with the Patriots with the last pick of the first round. We are up to the Cincinnati Bengals, a second-place finish in the AFC North last season, and yet another first-round exit. We'll talk about what they've done this offseason, the moves they have made to add guys, and they've let guys go, the fantasy implications, and where they could be going in this year's draft. And as always, if you want your question answered right here on the podcast, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. I promise you that'll get your question on the program, and tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Nolan, at FG underscore Brawley. We'll have a question coming up later on in the program on the Cincinnati Bengals as we look forward to their 2015 season and take a look back at their 2014 season. We're not looking back at the MLB season anymore. That is underway, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever, and you don't want to miss your chance to get in before the season really gets going. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting all year long to win a league. Play today and win tonight. There's no season-long commitment and no upfront fees. You can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And, Joe, we've seen a near no-hitter already this season. If you're getting fired up about the season, maybe you're looking at some of these guys on new teams. Maybe you look at some guys that are finally getting their calls up. And you look at their price tags, and those adjustments haven't been made yet. So maybe you're kind of got the tip on some of these guys. You could take advantage of maybe some of these price tags before they start to rise or change. This is the time to do it.
Maybe you just never played fantasy baseball because you didn't like the long process of it because it's such a different beast than fantasy football. I think FanDuel has found a way to really blur that fantasy baseball, fantasy football line. Go out, read up on some strategies. They're all over the place. Go have some fun with it.
Eric Hafter from California, he had some fun with it. He turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. All right, guys, as we get into the Bengals here, as I mentioned, they had another first-round exit, and that's 4 years in a row here for Andy Dalton, and I think that's kind of where it all starts here for the Bengals, is their ceiling has pretty much been hit, and it's been hit because of Andy Dalton. And I say that because you know what he is, and he got one of those contracts that they can get out of quickly, but they did give him a contract extension of some sorts. Yet at the same time, we heard that at the time their new offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson, will be entering his second season in 2015, saying, look, you know, we need to take a little bit off Andy's plate here. We want to focus more on the ground game. They did draft Jeremy Hill to do just that, and that's what we saw this season. But we saw Dalton, after finishing number three in our default scoring for FantasyGuru.com in 2013, which doesn't penalize interceptions, dropped to number 25 this past season, 18.4 fantasy points per game, completed about 64% of his passes, 3,398 yards, 19 touchdowns to 17 interceptions. That comes after a year he had 33 touchdowns the year before. Look, I think we knew he was going to hit that big number again.
And nobody was buying it either because his ADP was in the mid-teens. Yeah. And that was an example of fantasy players, even amateur fantasy players, might have said, you know, I benefited from a couple hot games from Andy Dalton last year, understanding this guy is what he is. And fortunately, anybody who drafted Dalton, I think, is you expect him to be a solid backup. He really wasn't even that.
Yep.
But I think at least the market kind of corrected the fact that Dalton also, struggled with injuries around him. And the Bengals know he's not a guy who is going to be able to carry a team by himself. They just couldn't have anticipated what happened to the team around him.
I mean, he's a guy that can't have those problems happen to him. He needs everything to pretty much go right. And you had A.J. Green miss time. We never saw Marvin Jones. We really never saw Tyler Eifert. You know, Sanu was involved early, and we'll talk about him a little bit, and then disappeared in the second half of the season. And, you know, Dalton has played every game for four straight years, and that's a credit to him, but he is not a guy that you get all excited about. He's not a guy that makes everybody around him better. So when he has everything kind of fall apart around him, and if you looked at him for fantasy, you had those issues, you had his own issues, and you had the fact that they became more of a ground-first running team, it's not really that surprising to see that he finished 25th at the quarterback position. But going forward, you know, I don't think there's going to be much changing here from Andy Dalton. I think we've seen what Andy Dalton is, and is that good or bad news for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Probably good news. They need to focus on this running game more. And I think we saw that in the second half of the year. They realized their ceiling with Andy Dalton isn't, you know, hey, we'll do good in the regular season, but we'll flame out quickly in the playoffs. And I think if the only way they can change that is to really give, you know, Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard more responsibility. That's the only way that they're going to, you know, make it further than they have.
Well, let's talk about that ground game, because it is certainly their most important part of their offense, and they made that clear last season, but it took some time for them to figure out how to use Hill and Bernard, and it was all about Gio Bernard early in the season. In terms of the first five games, he was touching the ball 15 times a game, at least 15 times a game in the first five and in six of their first seven. Over that span, he was the number nine running back at 16.4 fantasy points per game. And it's something that you talk about here, and we'll get into this with Hill. There is some gray area. There's some overlapping here between these two, which is a good thing, is that you think of Bernard as more of the pass catcher. But as we talked about as in his rookie season, he can run between the tackles, not as well as Hill can. He can be a short yardage guy. He can do those things. So it's not like when he's on the field, oh, he's going to catch the ball. You know, it's third and one. They're never going to put Bernard out there. He can do those things, but that's more of Hill's game. Now, when Bernard got hurt with the hip injury, he then missed three games in November, and that opened the door for Jeremy Hill, and that was the door he walked through and pretty much shut behind him. Now, not that that's to say that Bernard disappeared completely, but it put Bernard in a different spot. And after Bernard returned in Week 12, his snaps fell, his carries fell. He was the number 20 running back at 12.2 fantasy points per game. Now, he finished 13th on the season at 14.5, and both finished in the top 15. But, guys, we saw Bernard's role change, as it probably should have, because when Hill took over, he was the man. And in the second half of the season, 19.1 carries and 103.2 rush yards per game. That's what he averaged after 7.1 and 27.9 in those categories in the first eight games. This worked out better for the Bengals, and he actually finished with three straight 100-yard games to end the year, and five total, all coming after November 2nd. So they finally kind of hit their stride and figured out what they wanted to do, really because Bernard got hurt.
And here's the problem. They both finished in the top 15 at the running back position last year, but they each did it in a spurt. And ideally, you think there's a balance to be struck because they can do different things, but Jeremy Hill did something last year that Giovanni Bernard hasn't done so far in his NFL career. Jeremy Hill was the man and did well at it. Gio Bernard, I think, can do those things, but ideally, Tom, I think he's more of a gadget guy. And I don't mean that as in he's Dree Archer and should be getting three touches per game. I'm just saying that he's not the traditional running back that I think the Bengals need with Andy Dalton at quarterback. And that's why I think we're going to see more of Jeremy Hill this year than Bernard.
Yeah, he's better off in the complimentary role. And we talked about this with the Arizona backfield a little bit with Andre Ellington. They tried to make him a lead back, and it didn't really work out this season. And I think, you know, Gio Bernard is kind of the mold that they're going to try to mold their backfield after. So, you know, give him some early down touches. He's decent between the tackles, but he's a better receiver than Hill.
There's that gray area, though. There's that overlapping, like I said. Bernard can be a guy that you can use between the tackles, but you know he's going to catch the ball typically more. That's kind of more of his role, whereas Hill is your main ball carrier and your between the tackles guy, but he can catch the ball. And as you look at his numbers on the season, how he did in that area, a pretty solid 27 for 215 on 32 targets. Not outstanding, but enough of a threat 11-24 on the ground, 9 touchdowns, 5.1 yards per carry on 226 carries. Now, I would think, Joe, that that number will go up if he is the man.
That's going up, and it's kind of like in baseball. If your shortstop can play a viable third base, and your third baseman can play a decent shortstop, you're still going to have the guy who's better at shortstop playing shortstop.
Right.
It's only in a pinch that you want the other guy to be doing something. And that's why when I look at these early ADPs, we've been discussing MFL 10 ADPs throughout these podcasts. And Jeremy Hill is currently going off the board as the number 18 overall pick. He's going off around the number 11 running back. 10, actually. I think that's a really fair spot for Jeremy Hill because I think he has the skill set to be the type of back that you want to build your fantasy team around. Bernard, on the other hand, is going off as the number 21 running back. This is full-point PPR as a mid-to-late fourth-round pick. I got to be honest, I like Jeremy Hill in the mid-second round more than I like Bernard in the mid-to-late fourth round. If only because I think Hill has a skill set to be a more consistent player.
We like him maybe as the Le'Veon Bell this year to make that leap from a late second round pick up to maybe the top five and of the running
similarly,
backs.
Similarly, a better all around player than we thought he was coming out of college.
Absolutely. Quite a bit. And now, got better as the year went on.
The thing is here, both guys finished in the top 15 last year, and as we said, like it was a tale of two different seasons, really. It was Bernard in the first half. He gets hurt, and then it's Hill the rest of the way, and we saw them kind of flip where they finish. From week 9 on, Hill was the number 9 running back, and at the same time, pretty much that puts Hill from week 12 for Bernard. From week 12 on, he was the number 20 running back, and kind of flip-flop. As we said, over the first 7 games, Bernard was the number 9 running back, and for the first 8 weeks of the season, you saw Hill as the number 39 running back. So things flip-flopped here. Now, can you say they're both top 20 running backs? I think we've talked about Hill having the better chance of really dominating and possibly getting to the top 5, but can you look at this team? Because I think it's going to be an interesting study here that they are clearly a run-first team. They have two really talented players. Arguably, maybe the best backfield duo in football between these two. But can you go into 2015 looking at both of these guys finishing in the top 20?
I think you can. But my issue is I think Hill is more likely to do it, if this makes sense, guys, and feel like he did it.
Right. I know.
Whereas Bernard, I think, could finish in the top 20 again. But it's going to feel like he disappointed you in 10 games and was a really nice asset in the other 6.
Hill's going to be a guy, you don't have to look at his game logs. Bernard's going to be a guy you have to go, wait, he did that? Because it's going to be some big games that probably make up for some single-digit games.
And in the MFL 10 format, maybe you're more willing to take the risk on Bernard because you feel like he's going to have the 5 big games. I just don't think he's going to be as consistent as Jeremy Hill.
And we'll have AJ Green here. He missed 3 games, 2 others he basically did nothing in. You know, he's going to be taking touches away from them. So that will make it much more difficult for both of them to finish in the top 20.
That brings us to the receiving corps. It brings us to one of our questions here that you guys have asked us, and you can always send your questions in on Twitter. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. That will get your question on the podcast. From Moose on a Hill, he says, is AJ Green underachieving? And I know what he's getting at, that he's a special player at the position. I don't think he's underachieving. Now, last year, the injuries, I don't think it has anything to do with underachieving. It happened. He was active for 13. He really only registered stats in 11. He left a couple of times with injuries. And he also had the concussion, remember, in the playoffs. He didn't even get to play in their playoff game. That was huge for them. But when you talk about AJ Green underachieving, I don't think you can say that because, as we've talked about, they are a run-first offense, as they should be, because of their quarterback, and I think their quarterback is a guy that you go, well, that's maybe why you're not as excited about AJ Green, because you have to rely on Andy Dalton. And when you have to rely on Andy Dalton in an offense that doesn't want to throw it as much, you got a couple roadblocks in AJ Green's way. Now, as we said, played in 13 games, registered statistics in only 11 of them. The toe injury that came back up, the bicep injury that came up in week 16, 19 fantasy points in the games that he posted statistics. That was the number 7 wide receiver in those times. Now, if you do count those other 2 games, and as some as we talked about, if he's active, you have to always start him. He was the number 16 16 wide receiver at 16.1 fantasy points per game. 69, 10, 41, 6 on 111 targets. Pretty much 11 games of work. Still had five 100-yard games over that span. Had a 200-yard game in there. Touchdowns in three games, he didn't touch 100 yards. Four games of 20-plus. When he was on the field and healthy, the guy got the job done because he plays with Dalton and he's on this run-first team. I think he does have a smaller margin for error.
Yeah, and I think A.J. Green has been a guy who, since he came into the league with Andy Dalton, he's gotten it done. And I don't feel he in any way is underachieved. He's just been, I think, a little bit more inconsistent than the Antonio Browns and the Demaryius Thomases of the world because he's not playing with an elite quarterback. That's it and that's all.
I feel like he's maximized his potential because of, you know, the Andy Dalton cap. But I can see where he's coming from feeling like he underachieved. So you have to take those two games into account. He finishes the number 16 guy. He was getting drafted late first round. I can see how you can feel like you underachieved a little bit.
Disappointed. Yep. But now, is that market correcting itself? Guys, 80 in MFL 10s, early ADP. Green's coming off the board as the number 8 wide receiver. I think that's fair. He's the number 18 overall pick on average. That makes him a mid to late second rounder. Yeah, I'll take A.J. Green at that spot all day. Just for the big games alone, you could pair him with a running back like Marshawn Lynch or Matt Forte or DeMarco Murray and end up coming out of your first two rounds with a really nice foundation for your team.
Yeah, I thought you would say he would have been in like the 13 to 15 range, which would have felt like a little bit of a reach, but that's much more appealing in that 18 to 20 range.
So we've hit our big-time players here, the guys that we know are going to be in lineups every week, but what about guys like Mohamed Sanu? And then you have Marvin Jones coming back from injury. Gresham probably not coming back. They didn't say a lot of positive things about him at the end of the year and in the offseason, early offseason, and now he's got the back issue to get over. And then Tyler Eifert, we saw him for a game before he had that awful elbow injury and never came back. But Sanu was a weird guy because he was a fantasy MVP early, 39, 6, 28, 4 over the first 8 games, 16.1 yards per catch, 17.2 fantasy points per game. He's the number 12 wide receiver over that time. Now, some of those games were without A.J. Green, and before they really kicked into gear with that ground game, and then he disappeared from week 10 on, 17, 162, 1 on 32 targets, 9.5 yards per catch, number 92 amongst wide receivers.
He may have gotten you to the fantasy playoffs, but hopefully you didn't use him in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, how much did they miss Marvin Jones? Is Mohamed Sanu a guy that you can really rely on? Apparently not, from what we've seen here. And once again, it gets back down to Dalton and to what the offense is here. But, you know, you throw Eifert into the mix, and Joe, he was a first-round pick a couple years ago, but you know, where are we at with Tyler Eifert right now? Because as a first-round tight end, who certainly looks like one of the new breed, you know, athletic, prototypical tight ends that you can see move around the field, we haven't seen that yet from him. And, you know, in this offense, the way it is shaped, he's a big question mark right now.
I think Eifert was a guy they planned on having a really big role last year. And you have to take an incomplete. The guy's essentially still a rookie because, or at least he's going to be a second-year player. And that's when you expect these tight ends to make their leap in the second or third year because there's so much for them to learn. You have to learn to split out wide. You've got to learn to line up in line. You've got to learn occasionally to move around in the backfield like an H-back. And those are all things they wanted to do with Eifert. I think Tyler Eifert is the guy the Bengals want to take the next step. He's not going to be a high fantasy pick because people don't know about him. They feel like he was a disappointment as a rookie, and he's coming off a serious injury. But I think that's the guy the Bengals ideally would like to be their number two target in the passing game behind A.J. Green.
And I'll admit it, the last 2 years, I've taken Tyler Eifert late in some of my drafts because I love the skill set, and I'm going to take him for a third year. You just look at, you know, hashtag Big Gresh's stats there last year. 62 catches. That's pretty impressive. But 7.4 yards per catch. Hey, if you translate those 62 catches to Tyler Eifert, but he's going to average 11 yards
more.
A catch.
Yeah.
So those are – you can project that a little bit more. So he's going to be another guy I roll the dice with late in the draft again because he has that skill set. And, hey, Andy Dalton will check it down to him.
And I got to tell you, I'm a Mohamed Sanu skeptic. His season last year, I mean, you talk about a disappearing act as – he was a number one fantasy receiver over the first half of the year. He was like a number 9 fantasy receiver in not number nine overall, I'm talking ninth tier, a fantasy receiver in a 12-team
league. Number 92 in the second half.
He wasn't even worth having on a roster. For the most part in his career, this has been a guy who's averaged under 10 yards per catch. The first half of last year, 16.1. Tell me what the outlier is here. And until Mohamed Sanu does something consistent, I'm not going to be taking a risk on this guy's anything more than a number five type of receiver.
Well, that brings us to the draft here now. Now, if you look at like what they have lost in the offseason, Gresham probably not coming back. They do re-sign Ray Maluga. They signed Denarius Morris from depth at wide receiver. Terrence Newman has gone at cornerback. But we've brought up maybe a wide receiver that they could look at here if they want to really upgrade and get a number two guy that they absolutely know can be there for them. Do they look at tight end? And is this a team that needs more help on defense in terms of some impact players or just some depth? It's a pretty darn good roster from top to bottom, which we've talked about. It just that pimple of Andy Dalton that's on it right now. But is this a team that needs to focus on defense in the draft? I feel like that's the way they want to go. If their offensive looks, maybe receiver, maybe tight end, but are they looking at those positions early in the draft? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's going to be defense early. I mean, they're transitioning from a pass to a run offense here. They're going to rely on Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard. And when you start doing that, you have to have a good defense. So I don't like their defense, but they're going to add some depth to that defense, I think, early, you know, on the defensive line, and they need that edge rusher.
I think Bengals fans would tell you that their biggest need is the pass rush, something that didn't show up really at all last year. They've spent two high picks the last couple years, Will Clark last year, Marcus Hunt 2 years ago, and I think Hunt's the guy that they've been disappointed in. They want a guy to flash more than he has. It can turn on like that for an edge rusher, but the Bengals need somebody to step up there. They went out and re-signed Michael Johnson after the Buccaneers cut him. They also need one of their young corners, Darquez Dennard, Drake Kirkpatrick, to step up and be a consistent player. As a rookie, their first-round pick, Dennard played like 60 defensive snaps. And then I think in the mid to late rounds, you're going to see them get some depth at receiver, depth at tight end, especially if Big Gresh doesn't come back.
So that'll do it for our Bengals franchise focus podcast as we look ahead to 2015 for them and their season and what they do with the rest of the offseason and the draft. But the MLB season, we're talking about that now because it's already underway and you want to get involved with FanDuel.com. Their entry fees start at just $1 and you can play one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. You can play today and win tonight. You don't have to wait all season long, Tom. That's what I like. If you have a couple bad days in FanDuel, you can take some time off. If you have a couple good days, you can keep it rolling.
And we got this weekend coming up, Saturday games all day, Sunday games all day. Get that money rolling if you like college football Saturdays and NFL Sundays, you know. Let's make a little bit of money on there.
You can play all day long. Eric Hafter from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. They have over 1 million users who have already won money, and they're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code GURU, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.COM, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we come to the end of this year, remind you to check out the other podcasts of the Franchise Focus series. Plenty of them up. All of them will be up by April 24th before the Bengals go on the clock a week later. You can check the pre-draft rookie report from Tom and Joe. It's up on the site. The post-free agency podcast, John Hanson and Greg Cosell. They'll also have a pre-draft podcast coming up in the very near future. And you can get on the site right now. $24.95 is the early bird special. And plenty of content going up at FantasyGuru.com. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.